Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, it's my co-host RJ Sines.
I got a prostate the size of a cantaloupe and a head full of bad memories.
We're your in-house comedy gurus to talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and it doesn't matter how many blankets you put on the floor, it always feels like you're sleeping on the floor.
It's an old wives' tale that's told by mostly moms.
Today,
we also, I want to be very clear and upfront. I don't have a prostate the size of a cantaloupe, but I do have a head full of pepper that we know about.
Today, we're talking about.
I have not seen a doctor in many years.
The new in-town comeback kid gorgeous, John Mulaney.
A doctor will later tell me that I have what's called anal fissures.
What?
Yeah,
that's like a separate thing. Yeah. Medical records shouldn't be shared on the internet. We're talking about John Mulaney, RJ. John Mulaney!
Oh, yeah!
Are you kidding? He's like the best.
He's a great guy.
He's like the comedian you want to like be friends with. Or the comedian you could most see yourself actually being friends
and
with.
And he's also the comedian that actually is our best friend, if you didn't know that.
Right, oh yeah.
But it's a weird arrangement because he doesn't know we're BFFs.
Yeah.
But you know, we've got like, you know, little
but
Christmas
you guys,
cards.
You guys have hung out the one time where you paid money to go hang out.
When we hang out, it's weird. He makes me pay money and I have to sit like 30 feet away from
him.
Yeah,
yeah. And he has a microphone.
I just listen to him the whole time, but like, we get each other.
Best friends.
BFF.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, always. Gosh dang it. We're talking about John Mulaney.
To clarify, you guys aren't really friends.
Yes.
It's not a symbiotic relationship.
No, we aren't, but yes, we aren't not.
Smart. Okay, so we're going to get into that, but before we get into that, RJ, you have some news for us.
Yeah, I always do. As you know, Ben, I like to come prepared with the latest, freshest news from Comedy Town.
Yeah, what people don't know is that every news story RJ gets tattooed on him, and so it's he's filling up.
I'm basically the prison break for comedy news.
Where are you at? Are you reading from your armpit today, or
Michael Scofield levels of intricate puzzles and mazes on my abdomen
of just comedy news?
Yeah.
A lot of it's very outdated.
Yeah, this one's from 2004. This is an old Amy Schumer thing. Yeah, I'm running out of space. Luckily, we got those skin transplants coming in hot.
Yeah.
Okay, this bit has run its course. As much as I'd love to stay here.
Yeah.
We got some news, man. So, basically, you and I love Patton Oswalt.
He's great.
He's the king right now in
he's
comedy.
He's the nerd's comedian.
He is. And a comedian's nerd.
Whoa.
His stand-up special, Annihilation, will debut October 17th as he covers social media, robocalls, and the political climate, of course, as well as coping with the tragic death of his wife, Michelle McNamara, who died suddenly last year before his previous special. So this all happened just in the last year, which is crazy, crazy. He had tremendous success with his last special.
Yeah.
All the while dealing with this tragic loss. It's been so fascinating.
He doesn't mention it in Talking for Clapping, right?
No, because that was already pre-recorded.
Okay.
And before it aired, it was already recorded and it was being edited before it was shown on Netflix, like that week she died.
Because I do remember seeing, I think it was him being on talk shows promoting it.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on a talk show and he... I think it was with Conan, right?
Yeah.
And he's talking about that, and it's
it was like the week after, or like a couple weeks after.
So sad.
Yeah.
So,
he has written so
tragic.
Many depressing, but also like encouraging, uplifting comedic pieces of just like his journey through this. I have so much respect for him as an artist who's able not only to go through such a terrible thing, but be able to be a beacon of hope for others who are going through this. And this podcast just got really serious.
No, yeah. That's okay. RJ, I think it's okay to be serious every so often.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Stop laughing.
I am fine.
Just kidding. Always laugh.
So anyways, very stoked on his upcoming special, as well as other specials coming out from Jerry Seinfeld, Mark Maron, and Jeff Dunham. That's right, folks. He's back with the puppets. In case you thought he buried them somewhere far, far away, they are still stuck to both of his arms.
He has trouble going through daily life because he's had them sewn to his arms.
I'm not sure I know what Jeff Dunham's voice actually sounds like. I was thinking about that the other day.
Don't you know? Something like that?
That's Larry the Cable Guy.
No, I'm doing Jeff Dunham on 30 Rock.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
When he does, what is
Pork Pie?
No. They're at the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah.
Which becomes the Laugh Factory.
Right.
But I can't remember the name of his puppet. It's really ridiculous and funny. Anyway, it's a good app. Go check it out.
All right. 30 Rock. We'll get back to you, everyone. It's a really important piece of information.
Okay. Well, is that all the news you have, RJ?
That's all the news, as per usual.
Excellent. Well, like I said, we're talking about John Mulaney. Let me give you a little background into who this guy is. The Chicago native John Edmund Mulaney graduated from Georgetown University in 2004 and moved to New York City to pursue his dreams of comedy. Everyone's got them. Some people don't pursue them.
Thank you.
Mulaney had enjoyed his experience with improvisational comedy alongside fellow comedian Nick Kroll and wanted to venture into more comedic writing and stand-up comedy. Mulaney would land a job as an office assistant for Comedy Central and would eventually audition for Saturday Night Live in 2008.
That's quite the jump.
Isn't it?
Hmm.
Intrigue. The story goes on. Mulaney would continue to thrive in his stand-up comedy career, all while writing hilarious celebrity monologues and creating iconic sketches like Stefan with Bill Hader. Have you ever seen Stefan, RJ? Have you been living under a rock?
New York's Hottest Club is... I've never heard of Stefan.
Through a TV show run, another comedy special, and a Broadway underdog hit, John Mulaney has done so much in such a short amount of time to prove himself to be the talent that we all need to keep an eye on. Are you ready for John Mulaney to hit the big time?
He has.
I don't think you're ready then.
This guy is so...
Catch your breath, man.
I know, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. This is such a fun topic for us on this show because we've talked about a lot of very, very successful comedians. John Mulaney is a successful comedian, definitely. Mm-hmm. Some might even say very successful. But he's like 30 right now. He's like 31, 32. He still has like so much more time to grow his career and his legend as a comedian. But what he's been able to do just since 2008 is crazy. Just since he started SNL, he's already made so much progress and done so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And what's funny to me is this is a guy that if you blink, you'll miss him. All of a sudden, he's got Oh Hello on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Who are these two guys with all these celebrities showing up to the Broadway show? What the heck is Oh Hello? Mm-hmm. John Mulaney, who is this guy? I've never heard of it. He's been around, but you blinked, and already he's at the top of the game.
Yeah.
So,
like we said in another podcast, I can't remember which one.
Why am I not crying or avoiding sadness?
Not a different podcast, another ep. We talked about the difference. I think it was Conan, maybe. We're talking about the difference between writers and performers.
Okay.
And how sometimes writers can make that transition to become performers. I think it was when we were talking about when Conan... said he wanted to host late night.
Okay.
Instead of just produce. John Mulaney is like his wheelhouse. He's an amazing writer and he is and has made the transition to performer. But I think a lot of his most notable stuff is in writing. And no, you don't see the writer's face ever, exactly. So you're not going to know who this guy
exactly.
is.
Exactly, which is, of course, why we're here. We're going to break it down for you real nice, ladies and gentle beans. But first, as always, we want to talk about why John Mulaney is funny.
RJ, hit us with that sweet noise.
Ooh, child. And now for our thesis. Mulaney is funny in a very classic sense. His comedy is built off the likes of I Love Lucy and Johnny Carson reruns, but blended with his multi-accessible postmodern wit that can win anyone over. John Mulaney is the time machine comedian. He could be placed in any era of stand-up comedy and succeed. While his style is based mainly off of his sassy viewpoints or personal anecdotes, it's universal in how it's communicated to his audience. With so many zany and gregarious stand-up comedians in this day and age, John Mulaney stands out as the cool, reliable poster child of 21st century stand-up comedy.
I love this episode. I feel like this is maybe one of the first episodes that we're doing where I feel like we're catching someone on the rise.
On
right?
the way up.
So can you imagine? I mean, we've done an episode on Conan. We've done an episode on Jerry Seinfeld. Can you imagine if we were doing an episode on Jerry Seinfeld
mid-1988 or pre-Seinfeld?
Like, pre-Seinfeld, that's what I'm saying.
Ooh.
Like a young, like, sexually andromedous, like, kind of, we don't know what this guy is, but like he's funny.
Like the galaxy.
What's the word I'm searching for?
Ambiguous. Or what I like to say is sexually ambidextrous.
Sure.
It's another thing.
Can you imagine if we were like, you know, looking at him then?
Like, so different.
I don't know. You can't really make that comparison, him to Jerry Seinfeld.
I mean, you can, but...
Well, you can't because Mulaney wasn't successful.
The show, yes.
Where Seinfeld was.
Yes.
Both on their last names.
Very interesting comparison to make. But that's the game you play.
I mean, in our thesis, we say he's this timeless comedian, but what if there was another time where Mulaney became successful?
Like an alternate timeline? You keep saying John Mulaney and the word Mulaney as in the TV show.
Well, the show is called Mulaney. And
so from
John
this
Mulaney
point forward,
Mulaney.
To avoid confusion between me or our audience, I will say Mulaney TV show.
Or how about I just raise my hand?
Okay, well, I can see you, but
you have to make mention of it. No, I'm
okay,
joking.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Let's get into his stand-up.
Right.
Just to avoid all confusion.
This is bread and butter. And before we even get into it, you're like, I don't know where his stand-up is. Go on Netflix, dummy. It's everywhere.
You're doing Mulaney right now.
Yeah. That's you got a remote? Get on the couch, silly.
He's so, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, let's get into it. New in Town.
This is his first special on Netflix. And I really think a big part of his whole act and stand-up is a lot of his personal experience mm-hmm. here on Earth. Which, you know, that's a lot of stand-ups. It's a very general thing to say. But what Mulaney brings to the table is this interesting kind of, like, sassy whodunit, like, very traditional. He's always wearing a suit. If I'm trying to paint a picture for you, you've never seen this guy.
Yeah, he's not casual.
He's not casual.
He's sharp.
He's sharp as a tack, dang mm-hmm. it, and you will bleed if you touch him.
Yeah, you could sharpen a knife on his elbows. I don't know.
Yeah, so some of the bits that I think stick out from this New in Town special, he tries to get anxiety medicine by lying to a doctor mm-hmm. and then ends up getting a rectal exam. And I'm shortening the bit immensely, but he does it perfectly. The doctor inserts his fingers up his butt, and he says, and you know, you think you would know what most things feel like when you're that age, but I let out a very audible, ooh, and then the doctor pulling his fingers out, he's like, I mean, what else have you felt coming out of your butthole other than poop? So I thought I was shitting into the doctor's hands. So I said, I'm sorry. And there was nothing wrong with him.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyways, that's just, like, a very funny thing that is his story.
Yeah.
It actually happened, which is, I have a hard time with comedians in general. Like, this is something that actually happened to me. But his stories are so overblown, so well paced and so punched up mm-hmm. that ooh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, it's such a silly thing. It doesn't matter if it's true.
He's so good at identifying the absurdism in the things that he's doing and then being sarcastic and over the top about them.
Right.
Like even when you were just doing your, like, John Mulaney impression, like, he's so like, you know, like how you do when you lie to doctors. Like, it's just, it's so like, I don't know. It's so accessible. I love it so
it's
much.
It's accessible and kind of like what we were talking about in the thesis, where it's this traditional appeal to the crowd, mm-hmm. right? When you say, you know, like a liar does, mm-hmm. it's like an instant callback, because like obviously everyone knows like what a liar is, uh-huh. but now you're making this stupid, absurd realization about something we already all know. And that to me is so part like where he's like the time machine comedian. Like, you take New in Town and you plop it in 1960, I'm sure it would be successful. Like, obviously, you know, change up some of the references.
Sure.
But a lot of it has to do with a little bit of self-deprecation, a little bit of making fun of his upbringing. But yeah, and he ends with this amazing story about bumping into a homeless man who's new in town.
It is so good.
Can you say the bit? You say it really well.
Which part?
Just what the guy bumps into. I'm going to push.
No, him. I love, because he tells a story about when he runs into this homeless man, and this guy pushes him and says these four things. But then John does, like, I wonder how he, like, did he rehearse this? Like, did he practice this in front of the mirror? He's like, I'm going to go up to him and I'm going to tap him on the shoulder. No. You got to be more aggressive than that. I'm going to push him. And he does this like pushing motion like 10,000 times. I'm going to push him. I'm going to say, I am new in town. No, hold back. Let it simmer. It's so funny the way he sets it up. And it's like, you can tell this was just this little interaction that he had.
Right.
But John has this self-awareness and this like ability to look at situations and
zoom
recognize
out,
the absurdity, and then just like he just like nails it with comedy. It's so good.
Goes for it. Which is so interesting going into his next special, The Comeback Kid. This is a cool thing, because it was, I'm pretty sure, on the heels of his failed TV show, right?
Okay, yeah.
Mulaney, the TV show. So Comeback Kid was a cool special to have. It was just 2016 it came out, and it was everything. I feel like it was new in town 2.0 in a lot of ways. There were more quick little inserted bits here and there, and I think like right out the gate, something that he is able to connect to the audience in such a unique way, but also such a universal way, being like, yeah, what a great crowd. Like, you know, I like those crowds that start out strong, but you can't die out too soon. You know, we've all been there. We've all made a happy birthday sign. Stay with me. I mean, we've all gotten out the paper and the paper. Let's start with a big ass H. And follow it up with a big ass A. Oh, no. We make a skinny P, like a big hump at the top. Like a second smaller P that's kind of like underneath the hump of the big P, like a sidecar situation. Like, we've all gone too far too fast and realized we don't have enough room at the end of it. Like, just a silly, like a happy birthday sign. Like, yeah. How do you pull that out of there? I feel like that's what the greats do.
It's the comparison. It's the comparison of what is happening to something that we've all experienced.
Exactly.
It's so good.
Exactly. So, yeah, and he has this unbelievable story at the end of this special about Bill Clinton, meeting Bill Clinton. And we talked about, he takes this little thing that happened to him maybe and then punches it up times 1,000.
Yeah.
If you look at what the story is, him meeting Bill Clinton when he was a child, and he must make this a 10 to 15 minute bit.
Yeah.
And it's so solid. He does like the whole bit with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And God, I'm already forgetting the movie, but whatever. He does like the whole scene from that movie and then going into like his backstory with his mom and his dad. And even at the end with his dad being like, the other shoe just dropped with Clinton's problems with you know who. Anyways,
old that, news. That one's tattooed on your back, right?
No.
That's not. Oh, yeah, it's not comedy news. I'm sorry.
Right. Sorry. It's just regular sad.
It's just
news.
Regular news that does not get a tattoo spot.
Not worth it. But Jeff Dunham, that's worth the spot.
That's front and center on the chest.
No, it's like lower back.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you have anything more to add to Comeback Kid?
I mean, both of those are high recommendations from both of us.
Yeah.
Just go to Netflix and watch it. It Yeah. I mean, his style is just so easygoing. You know, he's not even... He uses his physicality, but it's very...
specific.
Yeah, it's very thought out. Like, it's not like... He's not running around the stage. He doesn't have, like... There's a lot of comedians that have what I call dumb face, where they'll say something or, like, give this premise where they're a dummy in a situation. I'm thinking of Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm thinking of Brian Regan. Like, who can say this and then put up this face and look at you, and you see, he's the you know, the doofus in this situation,
or he's making fun
of the doofus. John Mulaney isn't that. He's straight laced.
He's so cool.
He's cool and calm, but he's sassy.
Yeah,
like so, like just yeah, like. He's just having fun with you.
Yeah, the only time that he really, like, puts on, like, that doofus face is I'm thinking of the joke in Comeback Kid when he's like, so I went to Mass with my parents on Christmas for the first time in forever, and the entire Catholic Church decided to play a trick on John and switch everything up. I was, like, batting 400, and they go, peace be with you. And I'm like, and also, and then everyone goes, and in your spirit. I'm like, huh? What? When? Huh? But just like that quick little thing of like, he's still cool for a second, not cool, and then back to like, but that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then goes in, and again, that zooming out, picking apart, okay, what about the conversation of how did this become a thing in the first
place?
Yeah,
but even then, he still is cool in that.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
what
know?
I mean.
Like, in that moment, he's not like, doy.
Oh,
he's got like the, huh? What? How? And that is like so. Yeah, like he doesn't miss a beat when he's going.
Yeah. And one more thing that I want to touch on from especially his stand-up material is his emphasis and role that his now wife plays in his material.
Okay.
He does an interesting job of knocking himself down a peg all the while like building up like his relationship with his wife.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a really interesting thing because we see a lot of comedians who will tear down almost like, you know, traditionally, like it's so funny to make fun of like the really, oh, my girlfriend's like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, let's go have sex. And it's like, ha 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 ha. Like, duh.
I don't think I've ever heard a comedian say those things in succession.
It's not that.
But I do think of it in both of Dave Chappelle's recent specials. He's never demeaning to his wife, but he does give this premise like it's, I'm better when like she leaves for a day or something. It's like
interesting.
Finally, where Mulaney is they feel like, you know, they're a team.
Exactly. Something that he talks about is the power of the word wife, which I just think is hilarious.
Yeah, like, so good.
You're never gonna be like, can my girlfriend come? Yeah, I shouldn't say it that way, but wife has so much more power. Keep your hands off my wife. I didn't murder my wife. Who's that guy? Sounds
so
like he
good.
Definitely murdered his wife. And this new kind of material he's been working on under the guise of his Kid Gorgeous tour.
Uh-huh.
I've got to see.
You got to see it, yeah.
I got to see a little bit of it. Maybe just like when he was working out some of the stuff. And he actually
Where was that?
It was at Largo.
Oh, cool.
In L.A. In L.A.
All of the babies and all the little gravies.
Gravies?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he even does this whole long-form story bit on how he met with the guy from the Ravens who definitely killed somebody.
Oh, shoot. the linebacker, yeah. Shoot, Ray Lewis.
Yes. He talks about a story with Ray Lewis and not knowing anything about Ray Lewis or what he had been accused of doing in his life and talking to him about his failed TV show and Ray Lewis talking to him about when the haters are coming after you and relating to him in that moment.
Oh,
and it was so
gosh.
Good. But hands down, one of the funniest things I've ever seen was, and I don't know what this person was thinking of in the audience. This is a small theater, by the way. A woman front and center, like this is 150, maybe 200 person theater, gets up, walks out. I would never do that, no matter how bad I go to the bathroom. That's so embarrassing. He's in the middle of his set, and everyone can see this person.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, we're going to play a joke on this person. There's no speakers in the bathroom, right? Oh, yes.
That's so good.
And he's like, okay, listen up. I'm so excited. This person's going to come back. No one's going to say a word. But the next time I say, and you know what we say in LA, everyone's going to say, we love pancakes. And put your hands in a swing motion, left, right, left, just like that. And no joke, person comes back. He didn't even acknowledge that person. Didn't even acknowledge her coming back in. And then the whole thing goes on. He goes to tell the Ray Lewis story. And then he's like, but you know what we say in LA? And the whole crowd goes, we love pancakes. And he's like, ha, 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 we got you, Snicker. Like right to her face.
Oh my gosh.
And she was just like, what is going on?
That's so good.
Oh, so.
Wow, what fun. Like that's, you have to have such presence and stage and like presence of mind to be able to do that.
Yeah,
like that's not the crazy bit. I can't predict that.
I am not kidding you. I can't remember because I saw it once, and it's not like I can just repeat it on Netflix. Like this Ray Lewis bit that he did was so funny. I guarantee it. He made a reference to pancakes in the joke, and then brought the improvised "We Love Pancakes" bit.
Oh my gosh!
Brought it all home, and I was like, "Are." So this was a plant, right? Like this audience person is with you. Like there's no
Do you really
way.
Think?
No, God, no. That's too random. He was way too excited.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty magical.
We love pancakes. Oh, that's hilarious.
Let's talk about some of the Saturday Night
writing.
SNL, the acronym, Saturday Night Live, the television show.
Uh-huh.
He was a writer during a very prominent era. 2008 to, I believe, 2012, four years.
Major players. You have like Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, Jimmy Fallon.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Bill Hader.
Uh-huh.
Andy Samberg.
Tracy Morgan?
No. Seth Meyers.
I think so.
No, you're right. Just on his way out.
Yeah.
You're right. So, Daryl Hammond, Kenan Thompson, Fred Armisen, Chris Parnell.
So many. Like
Such a stacked cast. Yeah. Those 4 years... I'm jealous. And the best part is, I didn't know he was, obviously, like I didn't really know about him until the last couple of years, but finding out that he was writing in that time, it was like, oh my gosh.
Everything makes sense.
So many of those sketches, so many of those things is such a Mulaney bit.
Yeah.
These kinds of things, like he wrote like the Celebrity Family Feud, which if you think about it, that's such a multidimensional, accessible kind of bit where you have celebrities maybe from different points in time that could be communicating so many different generations of jokes all the while, like funny to someone who's in 2010.
Yeah.
And not to mention, obviously the most famous bit that he wrote was Stefan with Bill Hader. And I mean, that might be, especially now looking back, that might be one of the most popular bits in this SNL run of the last 17 years.
Yeah, I'd say post Will Ferrell, that is number one.
Yeah, wow.
For sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, now that you're saying it, I almost don't want to call it too soon, but I think you're right. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's unfair.
Because like
to
Will
say.
Ferrell has like just so many when he was on, right? He has like
What
is love, baby, don't hurt me.
He's got like three best of DVDs.
Right,
you go on forever.
But just even like not even like that was the funniest joke. Just like iconic.
Yeah,
right.
Iconic.
Like could make movies
so,
and stuff from it.
Looking at other things iconic would be like the digital shorts. Andy Samberg and Drummond DeCone and Kiva Schaefer left their mark in a crazy way. But as far as just like characters, aside from the variety of Kristen Wiig characters that we could go through, I think Bill Hader Stefan is a clear like king in that
area. Even those Kristen Wiig characters are hilarious. Not a lot of them like super memorable.
I'm thinking
maybe Gilly.
Gilly, Target Lady. It's a match. And the surprise sketch is pretty good. I'm thinking about the douchebag with Jason Sudeikis that she plays. Oh, and the one upper lady, I forget her name. It's like, yeah, it's like great, but like I have like a motorhome and like Oprah lived in it. So I can't. Yeah,
but
still,
like you're talking to someone else who's an SNL fan. You
that's
know, like,
true.
You can talk to anyone and they know who Stefan is.
You're so right, because everyone has seen that sketch. This is something that I heard from his interview.
Maybe David S. Pumpkins.
That was last year.
I know,
okay.
I hope it blows up.
I hope
up.
That comes back. Something that that Mulaney talked about for how to write Stefan is he said, Actually, it wasn't him. It was Bill Hader said this. He said him and Mulaney, the rule was you have to, the only thing that you can write is something that you would only see once or that you have only seen once and will never see again.
Yeah.
So think of all the things that they said and it makes perfect sense. It's like little DJ baby ravioli hands who drinks from a fire hydrant once every Christmas Eve, like that kind of a thing. Like, that is such a unique, you'll never see it again, kind of stupid, insane moment. But what Bill Hader told the interviewer, I think it was Norm Macdonald, said that if the thing John Mulaney loved to do the most was switch up the jokes, like
right
before he would go on, to keep, and that's what would make him laugh.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he would Bill Hader would laugh, not because necessarily the line was so funny, but because he knew John was messing with him. So the cue card would come up and say the line was like, oh, DJ Baby Ravioli Hands drinking from a fire hydrant on Christmas Eve. The cue card would be like, DJ Baby Ravioli Hands, flip cue card, be like, chugging watermelons behind the Stater Bros.
Right.
Like, and just the fact that it was different, even if it wasn't even funnier, it would make him break every time.
So good.
So funny.
So good. And yeah, like, it was so perfect how he could... But part of his character was putting his hands on or over his mouth.
Yeah.
And that was like the timid, like, this is Stefan and this is who I am. But it heightened the ability to have him be breaking, but not actually showing that he's breaking. But then that made everything even funnier.
Exactly.
Genius.
So that was clearly maybe his biggest accomplishment there. But I would say, he had a lot of success just writing amazing monologues for celebrities. I was stoked to find out that he wrote one of my favorite celebrity monologues for Jason Segel, back when he was promoting the Muppet movie.
Okay.
And he had all the Muppets on stage. And I'm not even kidding you. Like, the line from the article that it mentioned was the only thing I could really recollect. I remember being like really entertaining and a lot of like nostalgia
from
value to it from that whole monologue with the Muppets. But the best was Kermit the Frog saying, and I got a pretty good Ray Romano impression. Hey, everybody, I'm Ray Romano. Ah! Like, that to me just screams Mulaney.
Right. Absolutely.
Just so self-aware. It's ridiculous.
So good.
Anyways. So,
yeah. And I don't think that Celebrity Family Feud is like any small thing. Like, I love those ones.
Oh, absolutely.
Those ones knock it out of the park for me every time. I love Keenan doing Steve Harvey. What's up, everybody? He's got his like big old mustache. There's something about that that just like it really.
He does a
me.
Great Steve Harvey. He's got the face too.
And then Steve Harvey is like, he's over the top, but then he's the constant in the sketches, and he's able to just see these celebrities being way absurd and just call them out.
And we'll probably be able to get into this on our SNL episode in the future, but. A sketch like Family Feud is your meat of the SNL episode. You know what? You might have some Stefans or some Kristen Wiig kind of like big character sketches that, you know, make everyone die laughing. But the bread and butter, these Family Feud, like, kind of keeps it together when the musical host is boring everyone to tears.
Sure. Yeah. It's so good.
Okay. I'm getting excited.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to talk about Mulaney.
The TV show.
His TV show, which was on, do we know what year it was on?
I believe it
Could
was.
Could you ask your assistant?
Hey, Siri, when was Mulaney, the TV show, on?
Dude, that was way too specific.
I don't really know. Doggone it. You are worthless. I paid $700 for you. Just kidding. I was due for an upgrade.
Anyway,
2014, 2015.
Okay.
I'm faster than Siri. Oh, gosh.
Okay, don't get upset, Mr. Triggered. So John Mulaney was approached by Lorne Michaels to create a show in his namesake, doing almost exactly what Jerry Seinfeld did.
Yeah.
Being a stand-up comedian and then being approached by NBC.
I can't remember if it was exactly that order, if Lorne approached him, but certainly Lorne had agreed to produce this show.
Okay.
NBC shot it down, Fox picked it up, and you know, it seemed like a solid premise. You got people like Martin Short, Nassim Pedrad, who was also on SNL at the time, and you know, great writers. John Mulaney was the one who wanted to do it. He created it. And
it was his baby.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
And he guessed wrong.
And that's, you know, it's so interesting to hear him talk about it.
Do you know how many episodes there are of the show? Did it even go a season?
I think it was a season and a half, maybe.
Really? You think it went to season two?
Yeah. No, it was just like one. I think they recorded more.
Okay. I thought it was like not even a full season.
No, it's a full season. It's 12 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably one season.
Yeah, exactly is.
Wow. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy, and it's a major part of John Mulaney. It's a major part of who he is, the fact that he had basically the building blocks lined up for him to have great success on TV, and everything didn't click.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear him talk about it, because he still says, I wouldn't do anything differently. Like,
right.
That's the show that I wanted to make.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe people didn't want it then at that time. Like, that's fine. But I had to go through that, or else I would still be trying to do it.
Uh-huh. Or maybe people just didn't know who John Mulaney was.
And that
I remember those ads.
I remember it too. And I was like, who?
Exactly. I remember being like, oh, he looks sort of familiar, but maybe it's just because he has a vanilla face.
Well, yeah, like every white comedian. I remember seeing the ads and thinking, like, they're bulking up this main character, this Mulaney guy. Like, he's someone I should have known.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, so I'm automatically not engaging.
Right.
So I feel like that was a vast majority of the experience. And then for those who did watch it, were even more so like, okay, I'm confused, like, It seems kind of Seinfeld-esque, but not exactly. It's different. I mean, it certainly has
to do like a modern
nostalgic feel of older sitcoms to it. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to see. You know, the shows that were succeeding at that point in time: Parks and Rec, The Office, 30 Rock. In comparison, you know, not the multicam format like Seinfeld. They were all single cam, different focus, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, super, super interesting. But here's the thing.
Why is it funny?
Yeah.
It's a trigger word.
Old habits. It doesn't reflect on the fact that he's still really, really funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He totally had a failed TV show, but that don't hold that against him, because he's still, like, way funnier than
so many people.
Yeah, like,
and I think
friggin', what was I going to say? The Jim Belushi show, which ran for like 14 seasons.
Oh my gosh.
Like, he's still way funnier than Jim Belushi.
All right. I'll take that to the bank.
Screw you, Jim Belushi. Just kidding. I don't know why.
Jim Belushi should come to this address. 1, 2, 3, 5. No, just kidding.
I don't know why I singled him out, but like, I'm just trying to say he's still like on par with a lot of super good comedians.
Well, I think what we look at like in his career so far is he's constantly got something in the pipeline. It was like, okay, so TV show didn't work out, here comes a special. All right, special's done, what's next? He's already got something going. And in his most recent success, Oh Hello, the Broadway show. Oh Hello. Which is such an, I mean, talk about, how come Mulaney didn't work? It was like too general, too specific, wrong place, right time, a lot of weird things, but like, on paper, it looked like it should work. And then, Oh Hello, let's do a little brief overview here. It's Nick Kroll, longtime friend since Georgetown in college. They do improv.
But yet not somebody that I would pair him up with, only because I didn't know that they went to school together.
Right. So longtime friend comedian Nick Kroll and him play these two old curmudgeon-y characters from the Upper West Side, Lower East Side. Can't remember now. And they just are complainy, and they're
just snively, they're just old New York.
Old New York. It's a good bit, and they do some of that in random sketch videos. They do stuff for the Kroll Show, and finally they go, let's take this to Broadway and just kind of do an homage to Broadway, and like Broadway. Make fun of yeah. all that has happened in plays. And I always think of the interview they did on Comedy Bang Bang. You know, people like to say that, you know, maybe we got a real Lin-Manuel Miranda, but we're more like Lin-Manuel Carrie Bradshaw's.
That's so good.
This is so funny.
So stupid.
It is so stupid.
But I feel like this is an area where he was able to take that classic, nostalgic thing that he has. So he has like that affinity for like I Love Lucy and yeah. the old guard. And he was able to put that into a character where that's a part of that person's character, is that he's just really old, and so that's the stuff that he's familiar with, and take that point of view and make fun of the modern day.
Totally.
Like, that. I think that's what made it successful.
Yeah.
Even though...
On paper, yeah, like I said, on paper, it seems like it would have been worse off than the TV show, and I loved it. I love those characters.
It's pretty funny.
I've thought... I mean, it's so unique. So unique. Mm-hmm. The stuff that they're doing is not something that anyone else was doing. I guarantee it. And I don't think anyone else had ever tried to do that. I mean, think about it. Okay, so Mr. Broadway, me and my friend here, we're going to play two old guys and make fun of everything in Broadway.
Exactly.
No, get the hell out of here. Right? That's not going to do good in this town.
I love the way that they utilize like their timing, like when they're just doing like the opening bit before the curtain even goes up, like they're just talking, and then all of a sudden they do like, and this is when, and they start like marching like against yeah. each other, and then all of a sudden they'll just make fun of their lighting intern who's like,
Ravi, a light wash please. I love when they'll just pick apart, like they're explaining to them how plays work and like how the stupid intricacies.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one-sided fun call. Ring 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 ring. Hello? The police? That's who you are!
So good.
So classic. But yeah, and they had so many great celebrities that came out to be on the shows. And it ran for quite a while. So you can see that on Netflix. I think... Oh, and they have a great Matthew Broderick bit in there, too.
Did they get noms?
Not for Tonys, but they hosted the Tonys. It's better than a nom.
Yeah, right.
Tonys, the Broadway of award shows. I'm stealing. That's I think that's a Mulaney bit.
That absolutely is.
I'm interested, however, in the alternate timeline wherein John Mulaney didn't start his TV show and took over Weekend Update instead of Colin Jost, who's in charge of it now.
Okay, explain.
And he's to this day, the same Weekend Update anchor. Do you think he would have succeeded?
Well, you have to explain. Didn't you say that was, like, offered to him?
Ooh, no, it wasn't offered. And I don't even want to say that it was indirectly offered. I listened to an interview with him, and he made it seem like that's something that could be a possibility.
Okay.
But he was working on the TV show, and that just kind of went the other direction. So it's not like he even got to the point where it was like, hey, you could be Update if you want. Stick around, wink, wink. It wasn't even verbally expressed.
And it was Update and head writer, right? Or was he head writer?
I don't. No. None of those.
Okay.
But, like, potentially Weekend Update. Like, because we knew Seth was on the way out.
Right.
So it was one of those things. Especially, I mean, they had so many different shakeups as Seth was on the way out. And then with Jost and... the other people that were coming in trying to be with him. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I think that's just interesting to think about because he's such a good presence and very classic anchorman-like fashion.
Absolutely.
I think it could have been successful. He did a couple different bits where he was on Weekend Update, and I thought they were fantastic.
He's really good at that twist of presenting something as it is and giving a twist on it. Just
yeah.
every good update story.
Every good Weekend Update story has that. So, I don't know. I feel like if he were to be Weekend Update anchor, maybe we wouldn't have gotten Oh Hello or The Mulaney Show.
Yeah. But it's really interesting because, like you said, he said that he would have just tried it some other time. You know, like that was something that he needed to go through trying to make The Mulaney Show.
Yeah, I get that.
Called Mulaney.
Yeah. So, he might not have been able to even be at the same levels of success as he is now if he hadn't had that failure.
I think so.
Very interesting how the butterfly effect affects us all, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't avoid it. Wouldn't want to, but we're not trying.
Yet.
That's a limerick that I just created.
That's an old Swahili limerick.
Do you have any, we have anything else on Mr. Mulaney?
Not yet.
That's
but,
all we got. Yeah, look into the future and the stars for his name. Up,
is this another limerick?
There.
Where are we going?
Yeah.
Look into the future Sorry. And the stars for
We're
his name.
Getting into the limericks, so you know that
tattooed
means.
On your news chest.
It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts about Mr. John Mulaney and RJ. He's going to check with the comedy critics to see where they have ranked each fact. They've been pre-screened.
Of course, by our critics.
By the critics. And now we're gonna read the ratings to you. All right, here is wacky fact number one. Growing up, John Mulaney wanted to be Desi Arnaz.
We all did.
That's the fact.
Great fact. Let's see what the critics have to say. All right, looks like the critics are giving that a solid 75% wacky.
Ooh.
Very wacky. Desi Arnaz, for those of you who might not know, is Ricky Ricardo from I Love Lucy.
That's right.
Very suave gentleman. And you know what? I would have to agree with that sentiment.
Who doesn't want to be Desi Arnaz?
He's a great guy.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, who does? I mean, I still walk in the house and go, Lucy, I'm home from the club. Except my wife isn't home and it's just my dog, and I call him Moosey because his name is Moose.
Yeah, you do that, don't you?
And then I just cry alone in my house because my dog has been dead for 5 years.
Like every good stand up. here's wacky fact number two. Bill Hader and John Mulaney got the idea of Stefan from a shy cafe worker friend who had opened many clubs that they knew together that quote-unquote had everything.
Yeah.
So this is actually a real person that they knew.
Yes. I'm going to add another layer to this wacky fact.
Please.
Just to up the critic level.
Up the bean dip layer.
It's not only based on one person with weird quirky tendencies, but dos personas. There's another person that John knew who would talk with his hands,
okay.
Like kind of cover his mouth kind of uh-huh. shyly, but wouldn't say weird, quirky stuff. But like he was kind of bashful in that sense. So they kind of blended those two
Brilliant.
Into this beautiful comedic character that we all know and love today.
Oh my gosh. Did we make Stefan out to be as great as it is? I feel like it's so funny. And it really is 99.9% on the writing.
Oh my god!
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's a goofy character, but those are a dime a dozen. It's the writing that makes it totally stand out.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Hader's performance is
yeah,
he plays
no,
the
he
part
does
perfectly.
It great, yeah.
But I mean, it is the words that he is throwing out.
Absolutely,
make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen.
And I love it too because, like, this is why I know it's good because they don't ever deviate from the canned, like situation that they present. They'll say, New York's hottest club is something.
Yeah.
It's located here. When you're there, you can find this, this, and this.
Yes.
He does that three times in a row, and you crack up each
yes.
time.
Yes.
Because each time, it's something outlandish and crazy.
Exactly.
It's so good. So funny.
So timelessly funny.
What are the ratings? What are the critic ratings?
Wow, got an 88%.
88.
Very wacky. Oh, wait. 89.
What? Wow.
It went up last minute because the critics heard.
They're still submitting them?
Yeah.
Wow.
They heard my addition.
Oh, nice,
yeah,
nice, nice.
Yeah. Very,
okay.
Very
well,
wacky.
Here is wacky fact number three. Go with me. John Mulaney's grandmother, Carolyn Stanton, and Hillary Myers, mother of Mulaney's future Saturday Night Live co-worker, Seth Meyers, performed together in a hospital benefit show in Marblehead, Massachusetts. Stay with me. It was called Pills a Poppin', and it was directed by a 19-year-old Tommy Toon.
No way. That is the most elaborate and yet genuinely enjoyable fact I think I've ever heard from you.
So
on the
John
show.
Mulaney's mom.
No.
John grandma.
Mulaney's grandma.
Yes. And
Seth
Meyers' mom.
were in a play together.
Did Broadway together with Tommy Toon.
Pills a poppin'.
Called Pills a poppin'.
That is so crazy.
For a benefit, to save the hospital.
Like, you realize
that's
that,
so funny.
You realize that's a Stefan line, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
New York's hottest club is Pills a poppin'. John Mulaney's grandmother and Seth Meyers' mom get together with Tommy Toon and direct this 19-year-old showboat's dream for a hospital.
It's so ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. That guy, the critics like that one. They gave that a 93, dude. That's solid.
It's pretty good.
Critics don't lie, and neither will I.
Well, that's what we got for the wacky facts, so you know what that means. It's time for hashtag...
I'm going home.
Well, middle of the week. Not you to leave yet.
Got it. Okay.
Not yet.
All right. I got to go.
Still have 10 more hours.
Okay. Hashtag whale mail of the week. This week's whale mail reads, hey guys, would you ever consider doing a second episode on Bob's Burgers or Rick and Morty since the shows are still airing? Dana J. Huh. Dana, what an interesting conundrum you presented. DJ Dana.
That's so true. They are still going, and they are still hilarious.
You keeping up with Bob's?
No.
No, I'm keeping up with Rick and Morty.
Absolutely.
It's just too much TV, so little time. My mom used to have a shirt that said, so many stamps, so little time, but I never got the stamps thing. So I'm going to get that shirt and put TV.
A stamp of the word TV on it.
Yeah,
nice.
A stamp of the word TV. Too much TV, too little time.
Absolutely. There's only so much Netflix you can binge before.
To answer your question, Dana, I think I'm definitely open to it. Honestly, I feel like a lot of these topics like is just a gateway into a deeper, more specific, interesting topic about what the heck, why are we laughing at this?
I mean, for sure, like let's say Rick and Morty goes 5 seasons total.
Yeah.
Like for sure we would have to do part 2. If like, you know, season 5 ends and it's like this big ridiculous thing where everyone dies probably and like life is just meaningless or something, we would definitely have to be like, okay guys, we're coming straight back.
Why is Rick and Morty still funny?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Forever funny.
It writes itself.
Wow. And then Bob's Burgers too, like,
yeah, same thing.
I could
see it being as iconic.
Do you predict a longevity for Bob's?
I think it has the potential, 100%. Differently, but similarly to Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty, I mean, that has like gone 0 to 60 fast.
Yeah, classic already.
Already. But Bob's Burgers, I feel like they have established themselves and what they're good at.
Like I would say Rick and Morty already has it's culturally connecting people, where Bob's Burgers, I feel like it's more about the characters. Like, I want to see those characters go through
totally.
10 seasons or something.
Yeah.
How many seasons is there of Bob's?
Hey, Siri, how many seasons are there of Bob's Burgers?
You got mine, too.
I found Bob's Burgers.
All right. Thanks a lot, you worthless piece of junk. Okay. All I got is it says 2011. So if we're going to do some simple dish, that's going to mean 6 years of Bob's Burgers. 6 seasons.
Not bad.
Going into their 7th. Or going into their 6th.
So I could see him going for 10.
Again, this is a comedy podcast, not a math podcast. Write in. Yeah. Give me some like math lessons.
I'd say 9 or 10 seasons for them.
Oh, total?
Total.
Not like the Simpsons route?
No.
Not the Family Guy route either?
No.
I mean, they've been cruising. South Park as
maybe. I guess you're right. Cartoons are able
There's
to have
weird
way more longevity.
Demand and longevity nowadays. I mean, if you think about it, the cartoons that have been interested,
but Bob's Burgers almost went off the air for a little bit, right? Am I wrong? I thought that was a true thing.
I don't remember hearing about that kind of scare. I would have had that tattooed on me by now. I don't I mean, I remember.
Dude,
everything.
Check your back. I think it's on there.
You got a hand mirror or something? Oh my god, it is! It almost did go up the air!
And it looks like the shape of like a demon or something. Sorry, I'm trying to get back to the Michael Schofield reference.
There you go.
To get there. Okay, so that's what we have for this week's show. RJ, if somebody's looking to find us, where would you send them?
to my house where I live, of course. Oh, the podcast.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
So you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher, and maybe Spotify now. I put in a thing, haven't heard back. They're kind of shady. I don't know. Maybe we'll get in and we won't. Someone tell me if
we'll let you know, but like if you could let us know, that'd be great too.
Yeah, thank you, Spotify.
Email us.
Okay, also, be sure to check out our Twitter page, @WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing, our Patreon page. All of these are in our descriptions of every single podcast, as well as our Twitter and Facebook accounts. So go there. We're all interconnected. You can find us all over the place. Even just Google us. There's like nothing else that sounds like Why Am I Laughing podcast.
Whale Pod.
Not even
why
close.
Why Am I Laughing?
It's like, why am pod I whales. In need of therapy? And that, you know, series
Pods
died out
whales.
A long time ago. So anyways, you gotta email us too. Send us the email, whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Anything, questions about future episodes, recommendations. We haven't had a recommendation in a while.
Not in a
and
while.
And you know what? I'm starting to not know where to go. I don't know. Maybe we'll just do like, why am I laughing? ?
That's it.
That's
why
it.
Why am I currently laughing? It's just us laughing for an hour.
That would be hard to listen to. Anyways, yeah. Send us anything. We read it.
Yeah. If you're looking to find RJ on the Twitterverse, you go at him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben at definitely a real Twitter name, you would find him at Stefan Fan Club. Oh, yeah. Actually, what was that bit we had in the beginning? I was trying to think of it. The tattoo thing was funny.
Yeah.
But even before that,
Michael Scofield.
The prostate thing, I think.
Those were all you things.
No, it was something that you said. Someone rewind like 50 minutes.
Send us an email.
And send us an email.
Whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. We got to thank Ben Sound for our theme song. We got to thank the Wolfpack for our outro song called Outro by Wolfpack. And we got to thank you, the listener, for giving us your ears every single week. If you want to, head to iTunes and subscribe. Tell your friends about our pod. But we're going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is Why Am I Laughing and comedy are all about.
Tattoos. Snapbacks and tattoos.
Yeah!
And timing.